We present the Belgrade Theatre Company from Coventry in their production of Semi-Detached by David Turner. The scene is the sitting room of the Midway family in their suburban home in Darley Hull. French windows overlook their garden.
Yeah, sounds like Dan's all right for another week. Marvellous. Mother?
Yes, Deb?
Bob will be coming back with her Eileen, I hope.
Of course he is. Only I gave our Eileen a very strict talking to before she went away.
You did?
I said to her, we don't mind your going away for a week's holiday with your young man, not in the least. We only hope it might bear fruit and you'll come back all radiant and engaged. But whatever happens, we mustn't let the neighbours smell out an inkling, must we?
Certainly not.
So, whatever they may have been doing together, Father, I've impressed upon her to return separate. Now, is that sensible or isn't it?
Most sensible, Mother.
I put it to her. Your father's an area supervisor. He's not a common old garden insurance man, not now. He's an area supervisor. So whatever you do, do it careful.
Don't discourage her, though, love. Don't discourage her. That young man of hers is very useful to me, you know. Ah, and here's Thomas with the Sunday papers. Come on, let's have them, lad. Come on, take your eyes off those pin-ups, will you?
I'm looking for what type my next girlfriend's going
to
be.
Indeed. What happened to your last one? 3 weeks ago you were all hot under the collar.
She took a fancy to somebody else.
She did? Well, we're pleased to hear it. He never brought her round here, you know. He never showed her to us, so we know what kind of girl she was.
Mother, she's finished with. I'm picking myself another.
When a young lad comes home at night looking as worried as you have, telling us about a young lady he's found with one breath and talking about immigrating with another, we can put two and two together. Dad, I do wish you'd have a nice talk with him.
Mother, I have already explained to the lad how at this moment he should be sublimating his emotional and physical innate drives.
How do you mean?
Simple. You need a physical outlet. Get polishing that car. Go on, Gildy. Oh, come on, come on. Get those hormones into line. There you are, Mother. How's that for mind over matter?
Oh, you're clever at it, Dad. Well, you always baffle them with your knowledge, don't you?
I've never let dust settle on my encyclopedias, Mother. Hey, look at them. A to Z in 24 volumes. Talk about the tree of knowledge. They show you everything bar the forbidden fruit.
Forbidden fruit?
How to make the money. No, love, these are the lads for that. They're correspondence courses. Dynamic word power. Psychology and salesmanship. Promotion awaits you. This is the one with that beautiful essay on how to destroy your colleague's self-confidence. Yes, I must say of late I've got myself very gifted in communication. None of us stands alone, Mother. It isn't simply insurance policies I deal in, but gentle and sympathetic understanding.
I can just imagine you doing it.
It's basic to life, Mother. Know your neighbour's needs. Form an affinity with him. Let there be fellowship, harmony and trust between you. Then get out your catalogue and start flogging.
Just to think you started off like anybody else, going round on your bike, collecting their tenpence a week.
Ah, yes. Those old 50-quid policies, eh? Just for the hearse and the funeral clothes.
You've progressed, Fred. I always think the turning point was when we got this house.
Our little semi.
Fred?
Yes, now?
Why do you always call it a semi and not a house?
Because we're only halfway there, love. Halfway to our goal. One day I'd like us to be completely detached.
Detached?
Yes, that's what I'm striving for, Mother. Whether we get there or not is a different matter, though.
Oh, you could do anything you set your mind to. I've got faith in you.
Have you, love?
Faith, if you say you'll do it, you'll do it.
Yes, perhaps you're right. Yes, now I'm a member of the Dowley Hull Locomotive Engineers. I think I might have my first foot on the heights.
It's only the cream of the cream in the railway club. It's noted for that.
Yes, I don't think you can top the locos. Not unless you've got your own yacht or something. You know, Mother, my little workshop down the bottom of the garden might not be much to look at, but do you know the price of the machinery in it?
A good bit, I think.
1,500 quid wouldn't touch it.
As much as that?
The lays alone, of course, 350. And I've got me millers and drillers and grinders.
And all for free.
Well, no, love, no, not exactly free. No, Bob sort of filled them for me out of the firm's storeroom. On permanent loan, as you might say.
Oh, the day Eileen brought Bob home, I knew it'd be a blessing.
I never even dreamt I could achieve the steam locomotive class, Hilda. Not me. It's a rich man's hobbies, that you know. It's only for lawyers and butchers and estate agents and such like.
And you're rubbing shoulders with them now.
Must be fate, eh? Our Eileen brings home the manager of the Lightcraft Engineering Company. She gets the romance and I get the tools.
We couldn't refuse him, could we?
Refuse him?
Him taking her to Bournemouth.
Mother, what are you talking about? I put it in his head to ask her.
You did what?
I put it to him. As their holidays coincided, nobody would object if he got to know my daughter at bit closer range.
Why couldn't they think of it themselves? It's not like our Eileen to be shy.
Eileen worries me sometimes.
Me too.
We've tried to bring her up respectable, but look at her. Cram full of left-wing drivel about honesty and integrity.
What's got into her, Fred? What's made her that way?
I think she hates her dad. Liberals often do, you know.
Oh, now, Fred, don't be silly. You're always at loggerheads, but in her heart she worships you.
Does she?
You're very fond of her, aren't you?
Yes, Mother. She's our firstborn. She brought us together.
Yes. Yes, she did. You haven't done the lawn yet.
I've got the tackle out to show, Willie.
The lawn's got to be done, though. We've left it a week. We don't want no comparisons made, not with next door.
Comparisons made? Us with next door? You come to the window, love. You've only got to look at their drive to know what class they are. Look at it. Concrete. Self-mix. 3 weekends he laboured on that and it's cracking already.
I'm glad you insisted on the red drive. It cost money, but it's the only one in the road. That's how I look at it.
I said to the manager of the firm who laid it, I said I want it to be the exact colour of that load they've got in front of Buckingham Palace. Because none of us knows our potential, do we?
You will do the lawn, though.
Yes, Mother, I'll do the lawn. But my King George V has got to be seen to first. It's got a sticking piston. As soon as it gets its steam up, it does nothing but dribble. Oh, look out. It's her.
Eileen? Mm. Oh, that's nice. Bob's not with her. She showed her discretion then. Eileen! Come back to a girl's best friend, have you?
Hello, Mum. Hello, Dad.
Had a good time, have you?
Fine.
Weather been nice.
Lovely.
We had your card with the seagulls.
Good.
And your father had one from Bob, didn't you, Dad? Oh, a very naughty PC that was. I said to your dad, what's he been up to? Because I never knew he had thoughts like that in his head.
How long before Bob gets here, Eileen?
10 minutes. Why?
Well, he'll be anxious to get started on the locos, won't he?
Oh, no, he won't.
What do you mean, oh, no, he won't? He's my fireman. He's going up to the club track with me this afternoon.
Not if I can help it.
Oh, dear, she's back. Nothing but contradict.
He's not going up
he's
that club
up
track.
He's coming up that club
no,
track.
No, you two. The minute you're together again, there's nothing but ructions. Now, Dad, you'd better get down to your shed. Mother wants a little tete-a-tete with her daughter, in any case.
Oh, very well. Send Bob down as soon as he arrives.
You'll be lucky.
I wish you wouldn't aggravate your father. I really do.
Bob's been brainwashed by him. Do you know that? He's talked railways till I'm sick.
You've done other little things besides chat, I know. When will he be popping it on your third finger left hand, then?
When will he be what?
Oh, I know what it is. You're not wearing the ring yet because you've made up your minds to have a proper engagement party.
What are you talking about, Mother?
Oh, tell me, love. You must have come back on a different footing with him. You must have.
Mother, what Bob and I have been doing this last week is entirely our business.
Oh, naturally it is, love. I'm not one to pry into the intimacies. I'm only asking what have you got to show for it?
Oh, if this is what I come home to, I wish I'd never come.
Your sister got married when she was only 19, and she happens to be 7 years your junior.
What of it?
Well, she's happily settled and everybody knows it.
Oh, yes. It was a beautiful match, Mother.
Opportunity doesn't knock twice, love. And me and your dad was only thinking of her interests.
Not just hers, Mother. Dad hasn't done so badly out of it.
He's never got nothing direct and financial out of it. Just the mention that we are now allied to the makepieces adds a bit of trimming to his status, that's all.
Is that all? I thought he'd managed to squeeze our Tom into the buttonworks.
Oh, well, he did do that for the lad, I must admit. But he's only a managerial apprentice, you know.
Oh, give him a chance, Mother. You can't expect to see him on the board of directors. Not yet.
Oh, now, don't sound so spiteful. Your father's only got the interests of the family at heart. He loves his family. He worships it.
Yes, yes. He always says, a family that prays together stays together.
I'm glad you said that, Eileen. There's a very high-minded spiritual side to him as well, you know.
He spells it P-R-E-Y.
What a thing to say, Eileen. What a terrible thing to say. I hope you never let thoughts like that get beyond these four walls. Oh. Oh, dear. Oh,
dear.
What is it? I've upset you.
No, no, it isn't that. Prayers has reminded me. It's the first Sunday in the month, isn't it?
Yes, why?
Oh, it's thinking so much about you, it's gone clean out of my mind.
What has?
Your sister will be turning up soon with her hubby.
On their way back from church.
Yes, I think Aunt Avril's managed that very nicely, don't you? She knew Nigel was a bit on the religious side when she married him. She told him flat, if they went to church every week, people might think they were a bit peculiar down their road. But once a month is sort of tasteful.
Oh, I better change. Tell me when Bob arrives.
Thomas?
Where are you, Mum?
Here, at the window.
What do you want?
We'll have no discussions in public if you don't mind. Inside. I want you to go and put your trousers on.
I've got my trousers on.
You know what I mean. Your Sunday best trousers.
But you heard what Dad said.
I know what your Dad said, but it happens to be the first Sunday in the month, and you know what that means.
Oh, they're coming, are they?
Yes, they are. You know how Tony Nigel always looks, hands sewn from head to foot. Oh, go and put your rig out on. There's a good lad, just to please me.
Okie doke, I'm easy.
Oh, that's Bob. Tell him to come in.
Come on in, Bob.
Good morning, Robert.
Morning, Mrs. Midway.
You've had a very nice week with my daughter, no doubt.
Very nice, Mrs. Midway. Very nice.
Well, I'm not going to beat about the bush, Robert. I'm going to put it to you straight.
For what?
It's very simple to my mind. Are you going to do the honourable thing by her, or aren't you?
Oh, Bob, you're here. Mother, why didn't you tell me Bob was here? What do you think about my XWD communication set for?
Well, he's only just arrived.
You'd better come down the shed, Bob. It's urgent.
Dad.
What?
Our Eileen's come back and she hasn't changed her position in life.
Mother, don't pester him. There's a crisis on down in that shed.
But he hasn't done the honourable thing.
What does honour matter? King George V has got the sluggish injector.
It hasn't.
It has.
You must talk over our Eileen. You must. The time's ripe, Father. He's just spent a week with her. He's been enjoying the fruits.
Mother, this is not the moment for your bedtime stories. I shall need every ounce of this lad's ingenuity if I'm going to get my 460 up that track. He's got no time for sexual postmortems.
Well, if you're not that concerned about your daughter, I don't see why I should be.
That's a spirit, Mother. Get him a cup of tea. We don't want him any more exhausted than what he's come back, do
all
we?
All right, you are, love.
Come in, Bob.
Mr. Midway.
Yes?
I assure you I love your daughter. It's just that, well, for various complicated reasons, we can't think of marriage at the moment.
Yes, love's a very complicated thing. Now, about
the
obstruction in my outlet valve.
I think the time has come to be absolutely frank with you and tell you what prevents our marriage.
Yes, another time, perhaps, but at the moment I've got an obstruction in my outlet valve.
There's no one I'd rather live my life with than Eileen. I'd like you to believe that.
Yes, of course I believe it, but what about the obstruction in my outlet valve?
There are certain difficulties.
Yes, there certainly are.
But there's something barring the way.
I know that.
You know?
I ought to.
Hey?
Look, I've had my drain cocks wide open for the past half hour with my pressure right up to danger level. Any more of that, and I'll be straining me boiler in the region of me firebox. Well, there won't be much hope then, will there? And what do you think?
You probably got a leak.
Got a leak?
In your steam valve duct.
In your steam valve duct.
That's it.
Bob, you could be right. Come on, let's have a look at it together. You're my salvation, lad. Come on, don't dawn. We must get up that track this afternoon.
Mom, where are you?
In the kitchen. What do you want?
Where's Bob?
He's gone down the workshop with your father.
Oh, well, that's really marvellous, isn't it?
You know how your father relies on him? I think it's wonderful the way the pair of them fit in together.
Yes, Bob's told me.
He has?
Oh, yes. Dad's shrewd, keen, earnest mind sends him into raptures.
Oh, then your father's right as usual. It was silly of me to try and tie him into the family too soon. He'll be joining of his own accord in time.
It's a pity the family can't all march down the aisle and say I will together like a heavenly chorus.
Oh, now then, Eileen.
Mother.
Yes, love?
I didn't come back to start quarrelling, you know. It's just that I mustn't betray what I believe in because of sentiment. Family or no family.
Oh, let's forget about it, Eileen. There are always little problems of a Sunday. Take the teas down the shed, then. One of them's for you.
Thanks.
Enjoy yourself down there.
Mother?
Hello, Avril, dear. Church was over early, was it?
I haven't been.
You haven't been? Where's our Nigel, then?
He's not coming.
Not coming? Has he been took poorly?
No, Mother, he's not poorly.
Well, what is he, then, if he's not poorly?
I've left him.
You what?
I've left him, Mother.
Left him? What do you mean, left him?
Oh, it's too terrible to talk about.
Left
left him?
Yes, Mother, left him.
What's he done? What's he done to you, love? Tell your mother now. What's he done?
He's done it across me.
Done it across you? You don't.
I do.
Nigel, not Nigel.
He's a dirty beast, Mother.
Never. Nigel, a dirty beast.
He's been with another woman.
Who is she?
Oh, it's too disgusting.
What's her name?
Mother, I don't like shaping the word with my lips.
Not one of them. He's not been with one of them.
She was a woman of the street, only in a house.
Where?
London.
London?
He went down there yesterday for the cup final.
Cup final?
He went with Tommy Egerton.
Oh, not the Tommy Egerton down by the garage opposite the bridge.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, the school teacher.
I thought my Nigel would be safe with the school teacher.
Don't say any more. Don't say any more. I want your father to hear every word. Dad, can you hear me? What's all that row down there? Well, if I shout, can you hear me? Come up here, quick. I don't care if you are getting your steam up. Come up here, quick. What about? It's Avril.
The neighbours, Mother.
Oh, you're right. Just come up here. There now, love, there now. How do you know he's misbehaved himself? How do you know?
He told me.
Told you? You sure he wasn't joking or anything?
No.
Oh, it's most unlike Nigel, I must say. Here, Avril, perhaps he was boasting. Oh, there, love, there. Now, don't take on, Avril, love. Try and be brave. Me and your father will get it all sorted out now, don't you worry.
What's all the panic about? What is it? What is it? What's up with her?
Something delicate's happened to her, Dad. Something very delicate. Tell him, Avril, tell
him. I can't, Mother.
What is it?
Nigel's been unfaithful.
Is what?
He's misbehaved himself.
Nigel misbehaved himself. You're not having me on, are you?
Oh, I wish I was. Tell him, Avril.
He's been with one of them women, Dad.
One of what women?
She's just told you.
You don't mean a... No, no, never. Not Nigel. Never, no, not him.
It's right, Dad.
And she told you how it happened?
She said it was in London. He went down for the cup tie with Tommy Egerton.
Nigel didn't want to go at first. He's not the sporting type, as you know. But I forced him. I said he hung about the house too much, that he ought to have an outside interest. Outside interest.
Now then, Avril, less of the fairy fountains. Let's have it all in perspective, shall
Let's
we?
Let's hear what Nigel said.
What did he say to you?
He said...
Yes?
He said after the match was over, Tommy Egerton thought the M1 would be crowded. And you know, he's a bit nervous of the M1, is Nigel.
Go on.
Well, Tommy Egerton said it'd be better if they had a snack somewhere first, so he took my Nigel down to Leicester Square.
Oh, he did he? And they ended up on one of them streets round the back, did they?
That's right, Dad.
That's where it all takes place, Mother.
How do you know, Dad?
I read the newspapers, don't I? Go on, love.
Well, they had some sandwiches and some beer, and you know he can't stand strong drink.
Yes, goes dopey if he has half a shandy.
Anyway, Nigel says they were trying to find where they parked the car when Tommy Egerton was lured up some stairs by a woman in a doorway.
And what did Nigel do?
He followed.
Followed?
Yes, Mum, followed.
Well, go on, Avril, what happened?
Well, Nigel went up these stairs, and there was another woman at the top, and Tommy Egerton went into a room with one of the women, and Nigel followed suit with the other.
He did? And what happened?
What happened?
Yes, love, what happened?
He succumbed.
What do you mean by succumbed?
What do you think she means by succumbed?
So, he succumbed, did he?
Yes, Mum.
Well, that's that, then. If he succumbed, he succumbed.
When I woke up this morning, I found him all stretched out on the divanette in our through lounge. I said, "What's been keeping my little Nigel from his slumberland?" Then he came out with it. He couldn't get into bed with me because it was all guilt-ridden.
Oh, the poor love, the poor little love. It's hard for you now, Avril, but you just wait till you've gone through the making of it up.
Yes, have him on his knees, Avril, have him licking the carpet.
Lead him a dance, you're entitled. There'll be flowers, chocolates, new fur coat, anything you fancy.
It could be most rewarding, Mother, most rewarding.
Just think out what you want, Avril, and it might help you through your grief. Is there anything you want, Avril? Anything special you want?
Yes, Mother, I want...
Yes? Yes, Avril?
I want...
Well?
I want to divorce him.
Divorce him? Ah, no, she doesn't mean it, Mother.
Of course she doesn't.
Now, give her a cup of tea, she'll get over it.
You needn't bother, I know what I'm saying. I want to divorce him.
It's the shock, that's it.
Yes, terrible shock.
I want to divorce him!
Shh, the neighbours!
The neighbours, got the neighbours!
You must remember the neighbours, whatever happens, you must remember them.
I don't care about the neighbours, I want to divorce him!
Oh, she's overcome, the poor girl's overcome. Now sit down, Avril, sit down.
I'll shut the window, the sound carries.
It must be a terrible blow to a young girl. We understand that,
dear. Say what you like now, but keep your voice low, will you, Emily?
I'm going to divorce him.
That's better, love, that's better.
How long will it take to get my freedom, the filthy beast? Oh,
no, Avril, let's view it dignified, shall we?
We mustn't cheapen ourselves, whatever happens. Think of the family, love. You don't want to drag your father's nose through the mire, do you?
Now, let's get it all in perspective, shall we? Let's see it as it should be seen, shall we? Now, our Avril is one of the most envied young ladies in the neighbourhood. Am I right, or aren't I?
Well, yes, Nigel's uncle does own the button factory.
Exactly. And he's got the belt, buckle and zip fastener subsidiaries as well. Nigel's in direct line for all that.
But, Dad...
Shut your mouth a minute. Think of all the sacrifices we made to get a United to one of the Hadfields. And Nigel isn't any common or garden Hadfield. He's the chief Hadfield hope, as you might say.
But, Dad...
I'm talking. Divorce him. She must be out of her mind. Look at the money we wasted when we knew he was interested in you. Posh hairdressers down the high street twice a week, evening dresses, tennis rackets, riding habits. And didn't I pay through the nose for it? We'd only got money to put you there, you know.
Your father bled himself dry.
It was an investment. I said at the time it was an investment, and now she wants to chuck it up.
But, Dad...
Shut up, I've told you. You might want to destroy your life, but don't try and destroy mine. Nigel's uncle is a member of the council, isn't he? Who's going to get the insurance on all the developments that's going up around here? I'll tell you who's going to get it. Me. Acting on behalf of the Sunlight Assurance. I shall be regional officer after that, Mother.
But, Dad...
What do you keep Bud Dad in about?
Nigel's uncle might not stay on the council.
Not stay on the council? Nigel's uncle? He'd be there till he gets his OBE. What do you think keeps him there otherwise?
But he's got a mistress.
Got a mistress? Everybody knows he's got a mistress. He's a very rich man. He's entitled to a mistress.
But it's not his old mistress. It's a new mistress. She's a factory girl. A Miss Daphne Dunmore, out of his own works. He found her in his zip fastener extension.
Not so much snobbishness, Avril, if you don't mind. Titled ladies have been made out of less.
That's right. He's going to marry her.
He's won't?
Marry her?
He's going to marry her.
No, you've got it all wrong,
though. He can't marry her. Your Nigel might be cut off if he marries her.
Nigel went for his fortnightly visit last Thursday, and his uncle told him.
He did?
Yes.
He must have been joking. He was pulling on Nigel's leg, that's what it was.
Oh, don't be silly, Avril. Nigel's uncle wouldn't lower himself to marry a factory girl.
Oh, yes, he would, Mum, because he's put her in the family way.
Put her in the family way?
Yes, Dad.
What? Without consulting anybody?
You know what that means, don't you, Dad?
I know what it means, all right. I can hardly get me breath back.
Nigel will be cut off.
Clean cut off.
If we'd known this would happen, we'd never have let you marry him, never.
But that's what I'm saying. I want to unmarry him now.
Unmarry him?
She's got a point. Our Avril's got a point. Now, as I see it, our Avril can either go on living with him as he is now, and what is he as he stands today, the half-bred son of an income tax collector, that's all, or she can demand what's due to her, and to call a spade, look elsewhere.
It wouldn't be too late, our Avril. You've still got a lot of the bloom on you.
Dad?
Yes, love?
What do you think my dues are?
Your dues? Well, you'll get your alimony, there's no question about that, but... I think if we play our cards right, you will also get possession of the bungalow.
The bungalow?
The bungalow.
Oh, no! I didn't think she'd be as lucky as that.
What do you mean, Mother? The uncle gave it to the pair of them as a wedding present, didn't he? So she's already got half of it before she starts claiming.
Oh, it's a lovely bungalow, Avril, and you've made it so homely.
Well, what's you going to do then, Mother?
How do you mean, Dad?
Oh, haven't you been listening? I've been trying to give an unbiased, unprejudiced, two-sided view of the situation, haven't I? Does she divorce him or doesn't she?
Well, I didn't understand about the bungalow. I mean, if she's going to get the bungalow, I don't see there's any point in hanging on, talk or no talk. And we are the innocent party after all.
Right, that's that then.
I can divorce him then, can I?
You've got your parents' blessing, dear.
Oh, Mother.
It'll all be done properly now, don't you worry.
It's lovely to have something to look forward to. I feel so much better. Do you think I could have a swill in your kitchen dinette and put my face on?
You do, love, you do. She mustn't go back under the same roof with him now, not on no account.
Of course she mustn't.
If he can claim he's started up his marital rights again, she won't have a leg to stand on.
Mum, I wonder if you could mend my best trousers for me.
Oh, don't bother me now, Thomas. Me and your dad have got serious things on our minds.
But, Mum...
You heard what your mother said?
Well, where's some needles and cotton, then?
If it's a button off, you know where the things are always kept, in the electric shower in our third bedroom.
Mum, I wonder if
you heard what your mother said. Don't bother her. Now go on, get out.
Okie doke, then.
And where are you going, Hilda?
I've suddenly remembered he went out on his new motorbike in his best trousers yesterday. He might have torn them or something.
Oh, well, that's your fault, isn't it?
My fault?
Yes, I really think you might have consulted me before you signed that HP form.
I didn't sign no form. He told me you did.
I did? I didn't.
Well, who did?
I don't know who did. How did he get the money, then? He couldn't have paid cash.
Dad, do you think he stole it?
Stole it? Our son? Acquiring possessions by the direct method?
Well, he has been acting strange lately, Father. I thought he put a young lady in a predicament. Well, I did find that passionate letter when I went through his pockets. But it isn't that at all. It's this. Oh, we've got to talk to him.
We can't, Mother. We've got enough on our plate at the moment. Look who's just pulled up over the road.
It's him. It's Nigel.
And look, he's brought his mother with him.
Oh, I suspected this might happen.
Avril!
Just coming, Dad.
Your Nigel's just arrived with his mother.
What for?
To get you back, of course. Now, don't forget, you're staying here.
I am.
Yes, one false move with your physical side now and you'll land yourself up the creek with him for life. Have you got that?
Yes, Dad.
Right, fair enough. Mother, let her in. Now, leave it all to me, Avril. And don't forget the pro tem, you're very sub judice.
What does that mean, Dad? It
means at all costs keep your trap shut. Now, sit down.
This way, Mrs. Hadfield.
I expect you already know the reason for our visit.
We certainly know the reason for Nigel's visit. We're not quite so sure about yours, Mrs. Hadfield.
Mrs. Midway, my son came round this morning and requested me to accompany him. Isn't that so, Nigel?
Definitely.
Knowing the house he was going to call on, I told him that he felt he might like a witness. I said it was a very silly idea to have, but he did force me along, didn't you, Nigel?
Definitely.
Won't you sit down, Mrs. Hadfield?
Thank you. Well, now, I hear our two children have had a little contretemps together. Well, young married people do have their little contretemps from time to time. I think the matter can be easily settled by leaving the young people alone together.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Hadfield. I don't think we could persuade our Avril to be left alone with your Nigel. Not after this morning's revelations.
But Nigel has something to say to her.
Well, he can say it here, can't he?
You'd better say it, Nigel.
What, here, Mother?
Yes, Nigel, here.
Now, Mother?
Yes, now.
Avril, my wife, I have behaved as a most corrupt, depraved, and degenerate beast. I do not deny that after the cup tie, for one deeply regrettable and most humiliating moment, I allowed my blood to run riot and my flesh to take the wrong turning. However, I swear to you, Avril, I shall remember the incident for the rest of my life.
With shame?
Yes, Mother, with shame.
Go on, then, Nigel.
I...
Speak up.
It was an experience that I... taking it by and large, I assure you, it was a lesson.
Say you're sorry.
What?
You're sorry.
Oh, yes. I'm truly sorry, Avril. I'm utterly repentant, and if only you'll come back to me, I think that you'll find that after this, I shall always be completely prostrate. Well, what do you say, Avril?
Yes, what do you say, Avril?
Say what's in your mind, Avril.
Well, Avril, what have you decided to say?
I want to divorce him.
Divorce him?
Yes, Mrs. Hadfield, for misconducting.
But you can't.
Why not?
But you can't. You simply can't. Not divorce. Not in these circumstances. I mean, if his affections had been regularly taken elsewhere, perhaps, but one single evening with a member of the frail sisterhood...
Mother, it was only 20 minutes, and she was...
Do be quiet, Nigel. Avril, if you really feel you can't forgive, then I suggest the only proper course is for us to arrange a nice, quiet case of desertion.
But you have to wait for desertion, don't you?
Oh, it's only a matter of 3 short years.
3 short years? Mother, I can't do that. I might have lost me bloom by then.
It can't be expected of you, love. It can't be expected of you.
I do hope, Mrs. Midway, you realise the implications if she refuses.
What implications, Mrs. Hadfield?
What implications? I'm sure you've considered them, Mr. Midway.
I've weighed them up, yes.
Then you realise there'll be some nasty aspersions cast at your daughter, even if she is the innocent party.
Aspersions, Mrs. Hadfield? No, I don't think there'll be any aspersions.
Well, I assure you she won't get away with it lightly, not if she's going to play this kind of game. I'll see to that.
Now then, Mrs. Hadfield, there's no need to be vindictive.
I expect she's out to drain our family of every penny. You don't think I'm stupid, do you? I can guess who put her up to it.
And what do you mean by that?
You know what I mean.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I can't get over this. Here's my daughter here, the picture of radiant innocence, deceived by your son, that That gay Lothario over there, and all you can do is add insinuations and threats on top.
And there are threats I'll carry out. You needn't worry about that. Let me remind you that we have a certain amount of influence in our family.
Not now his uncle's cut him off.
Nigel, did you tell her your uncle had cut you off?
Well, Mother, I did mention it.
Oh.
What's wrong, then?
What's wrong? We know now. We understand it all now. So, the Midway family is up to its tricks again, is it?
If you take my advice, Mrs. Hadfield, you will count to 10, slowly-like. Slander can be a very grave issue, and there are witnesses.
There's no slander in what I'm going to say. This family, this ragtag bobtail family of nobodies, appears from nowhere and worms its way into the very cream of Dowley Hull society. And how? By taking advantage of the kindness, integrity, and high-mindedness of my son Nigel. Isn't that so, Nigel?
Definitely, most definitely.
Now look here, Mrs. Hadfield.
How did she get to marry him in the first place? I'll tell you how. She robbed my Nigel of his innocence, put him in a compromising position, and then threatened to sue him for breach of promise.
Have you quite finished, Mrs. Hadfield?
No, because... I have not quite finished.
Dear, dear.
Having used every means to exploit the Hadfield family, you now learn that my son might not have the financial expectations you'd been hoping for. That's what this stupid divorce is about, nothing more or less.
So that's all it's about, is it, Mrs. Hadfield? Well, you might change your tone when you read the headlines. Young husband spends night in Soho brothel...
Very well. You are forcing me to reveal something it would be best to keep secret.
Now, don't try and bluff me, Mrs. Hadfield.
I promised my dear husband I'd only mention it in an emergency.
Mention what?
I think it would be best to discuss it in front of as few people as possible. Nigel, go to the car and stay there.
Certainly, Mother.
I shall join you in a moment.
Now, what is all this, Mrs. Hadfield?
If you wish to hear what I have to say to you, I think your daughter had better retire, too.
Mother, take Avril into our kitchen, Danette, will you?
Avril.
Well, Mrs. Hadfield?
My dear husband has recently encountered certain information while examining the return forms at the Inland Revenue.
Now, there's nothing wrong with my income tax. He can say what he likes. I've got the best accountant in the district.
Your return form isn't in question, Mr. Midway. No, it's a statement on someone else's, someone very close to you.
Someone close to me? Now, what are you getting at, Mrs. Ed? Is this blackmail? Because you can tell your dear husband from me that whatever he's discovered on income tax forms, he'd better keep his mouth shut or your dear husband will sue me down the Labour Exchange.
Oh, you needn't be worried on his behalf, Mr. Midway. I think he'd soon get another appointment elsewhere. You see, people will be very sympathetic when he tells them he only revealed certain personal matters to save your family from a case of bigamy.
Bigamy?
I wonder if you'd care to ask your Eileen's boyfriend, Robert, isn't it, how his wife's getting on?
Wife?
I expect Eileen knows about his little difficulties. After all, she's just spent a week at the seaside with him, hasn't she? Oh, yes, he's got a wife. He makes her a very generous allowance, too, according to his income tax form. Of course, if you persist in your stupid attack upon my son, I'm afraid it will be our painful duty to inform Robert's wife of his adultery and indicate that your daughter Eileen is the correspondent. Well, I only hope all this hasn't made us late for church. Nigel and I will be returning after the service to collect Avril, so you've got a little over an hour to make her see reason.
Just a minute, Mrs. Hadfield.
Yes, what is it? We shall make Avril's apologies to the vicar, naturally. Well...
I only hope it's a nice sermon.
Thank you. Don't worry. We shall be back.
Hilda! Hilda, where are you, Mom?
What is it, Lou?
Come in here.
She's gone, has she? Fred, what has that woman said to you?
Something terrible. If it's true, it's something appalling.
Tell me, love, tell me.
She says that Bob is a married man.
Married man? Married man, Bob?
He must be to clear it on his income tax.
But our Arlene's just spent a week's holiday with him. Married man, he can't be.
It's on his income tax, Mother. You have to show your lines for that, otherwise everybody would be claiming.
Well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
I don't know yet, love.
You think Eileen knows he's a married man?
She must do.
Oh, but that's dreadful. Our own daughter having dealings like that.
What's worse, Mother, there's no future in it. To think a daughter of mine could be wasting her sexual efforts.
So that woman's blackmailing us, is she?
What?
Mrs. Hadfield's blackmailing
us. Yes, that's it.
If we expose her Nigel, she'll expose our Eileen.
In public.
Well, don't just stand there, Dad. Bring Bob and Eileen up here. Find out the whole truth behind it. Order Bob never to see our Eileen again.
What?
Well, they've been on holiday together, but nobody can prove whether they have or they haven't. Order Bob to sever his connections.
I can't do that.
Why not?
Because I've got too much of his firm's equipment down in my workshop there. If he leaves, I'll have to put it back in the store, and that'll mean the end of me locos. And if I lose me locos, I shall be losing me intros. And you know what that means, don't you? Back on me bike, collecting door to door.
Oh, you couldn't do that again. Not collecting door to door. It'd be so lowering. I mean, the whole neighbourhood would be talking about it.
What else is there?
We'll have to sacrifice our Avril, then. Order her back.
Yes. Poor little Avril.
Poor little Avril. Fancy our Eileen bringing this on us. How could she? Knowingly carry on with a married man.
Yes, how could she? Knowingly. Phew. Knowingly? Knowingly?
What's the matter?
She mustn't know.
Mustn't know, but she does know. We've just proved
she
knows.
Quiet, Mother, quiet. It's coming. Yes, yes, it's slowly coming. Come on, wait a minute. Yes, yes, that's it, that's it. I've got it.
Got what?
Our Eileen mustn't know. She must act innocent. She must swear she thought he was single.
She must what?
Listen to this, love, listen. Listen. Bob's wife divorces him, right? Our Eileen is named as co-respondent.
Oh.
Shut up, Blart, and I haven't finished. Bob then asks Eileen for her hand in marriage.
And about time, too.
But she refuses.
Refuses?
Refuses. Because she never knew he was a married man. He begs her, but she's adamant. She openly declares, he might have taken my virtue, but he will never take my soul. How's that for a public front, eh? We'll be the most virtuous family for miles around.
But you're forgetting something. What about Bob?
What about him?
Well, if Mrs. Hadfield starts spreading the dirt around, how can we have him in the house?
Oh, me and Bob can form a pure gentleman's agreement.
How do you mean?
Well, in exchange for the equipment which he whips from his firm, we allow him the occasional discreet carry-on with our daughter. Goodwill on both sides, tacit understanding. I doubt whether we'll even have to mention it.
But they mustn't be seen together in public.
No, of course not, no. Fortunately, they haven't got the first carefree, seething rage of youth upon them, have they? No, I think a long weekend together once a month, plus the odd bit of car work at night up Smoocher's Alley back of the airport, ought to keep them simmered down nicely. How it'll all turn out so beautifully respectable, Mother, I assure you. We're in, Benjamin, we're in!
What's all the noise about, Dad?
Avril, my love, virtue is always triumphant as long as enough people know about it. Never forget that.
What's he on about, Mum?
Any emergency and you can rely on him. He's a wonderful man. Your father's a marvellous man.
Does that mean I can get rid of Nigel?
It's better than I thought. Better than I thought. Bob forgot he was married. So did Nigel. My two incorruptible stainless daughters, one the mistress, the other the wife, defend their honour against male inconstancy. Oh, with such a sterling, pure, noble family to back up his insurance policies, how could a man go wrong? Oh, Lord, can you hear me? I don't deserve it. Well, Mrs. Hadfield's in touch. Why shouldn't I be?
Is he all right, Mother?
A wonderful man. A simply marvellous man.
Now, you better get back into the kitchen, Dinette, Avril. There's a lot of water to run under the sewers, or whatever it is, before we've finished. Pour yourself a glass of that TV glucose stuff. Keep your vitamins up. Right, now then, Mother, I think we'd better investigate friend Robert's nuptial disorders, don't you? We want the facts straight, don't we? And it's only right and proper I should do a bit of the irate father. It's expected. Hey, Bob, how are you doing down there? Eh? You found the leak, have you? What, Eileen did? Splendid, just below the union pipe, who'd have thought it? No, Bob, I'd like you to come up here. A little matter in hand I'd like your advice on. No, right, straight away, right, splendid, see you then.
I must say, you didn't sound very irate. Aren't you going to put your indignation on with him a bit?
Mother, we're a civilised country, you know. There are ways of doing things. If you intend to stab a man in the back, you've got to disarm him first.
What did you want, Mr. Midway?
What was he, Bob, about?
Mother, take Eileen into our kitchen, Danette, will you? Only don't talk about things not in front of Avril.
Come along, Eileen.
What is all this?
They've got some serious man-to-manning to get through.
Eileen, would you mind leaving us?
Now, look,
you'll
here,
be
Dad,
fully informed of the situation in due course, I've no doubt.
Now, look, I don't want
Eileen
to be difficult, but...
Come along now.
Very well.
Do sit down, Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Midway. What is it, Mr. Midway?
Hope you will not be offended by what I am about to moot. I am not denying that untoward misinformation might have arisen in your case and been laid at my feet, but I think the weight of evidence we have in hand points pretty conclusively in a single and deeply regrettable direction. You will therefore note that I am very much putting the matter on an official footing, by which I mean that however cordial our relationship might have been in the past, the time has now come for you to give me a simple, straightforward and authoritative answer to a question I'm about to put to you. I think the tone in which I'm expressing myself might indicate as much.
What is it, Mr. Midway?
To speak bluntly, Robert, have you heretofore made any prior contractual arrangements with a member of the opposite sex?
You mean, am I married?
Yeah, I think that nicely sums it up, yes.
Who told you?
Never mind who told me. Are you or aren't you?
I am.
You are?
Yes.
You sure?
I said so.
Right. We've established it, haven't we? And why haven't we been told about this?
I didn't think it was necessary.
Not necessary.
Well, you might not have understood. I mean, it's a very respectable family.
I'm glad you recognise it as such.
To put the facts before you, I was offered this managership at the local branch of the Lightcraft Engineering Company, and my wife wouldn't come with me.
She wouldn't come with you?
She said she wouldn't leave London to come and live in Dalyell.
She'd rather live in London than Dalyell. But doesn't she know the land prices here fetch the highest in the whole of the conurbation?
All the same, she said she wouldn't come.
But this is the nicest residential district in the whole length and breadth.
Well, what could I do but leave her down there? After all, a man has to look after his career, doesn't he?
Quite right, lad, quite right. Most sensible attitude. And our Eileen knows you're a married man, eh?
I thought it best to be frank and honest.
Frank and honest?
Why, what's wrong now?
I'd have thought you'd have had a bit more decency about you than to be frank and honest. You've made her a party to your misdemeanor. That's what you've done. All frank and honest means is, here's my guilt. Now you carry it for a bit.
I'm sorry.
I don't know what kind of a family you come from, Robert, but just remember we've got standards in this one. Mother?
Yes, dear?
It's true. She knows.
She knows?
No, I'm just letting you know she knows.
Did he tell her?
He's young, Mother. He hasn't got our experience. Well, lad, forget you ever told her, and everything will be all right.
Is that all, then?
All? Well, what else is there?
Well, aren't you going to throw me out of the house or anything?
Throw you out of the... Well, there's no doubt you've committed a variety of indiscretions, but... No, I think we can have a gentleman's agreement over the whole business, should eventualities arise. For the moment, Bob, I should like you to do just one thing.
What's that?
Get back down the shed and finish repairing that union pipe.
Right.
Mother... That lad is married with a wife in London who refuses to live in Dowley Hall.
Refuses to live in Dowley Hall?
Yes, I was staggered and all. So as soon as he's free, he wants to marry our Eileen.
He does?
Yes, so taking it all in all, I find his circumstances very mitigating. Very mitigating indeed.
And he has worked himself up to be manager and he does speak well.
Exactly.
On top of which, although please don't breathe it to her face, I think our Eileen's sands are running out just a little bit, don't you?
Yes, that is a point to be considered.
So what do we do?
What do we do? Exactly what we'd planned. She's not to know he's a married man. So if the case does come up, she's got enraged innocence on her side.
But what happens after?
After?
Well, does she marry him or not?
Well, all things being equal, it would be better if she didn't. But seeing as how her sands are running out, or as the poet once put it, time's winged chariot is giving her a nudge. Yes, I think we might allow her to forgive him and marry him in, say, 4 or 5 years' time, very discreetly, and certainly in another area altogether. Right then, Mother, it's all up to you. Get on with it.
Eh?
The kind, gentle, understanding chat between mother and daughter. A woman's work. A union pipe. A man's.
Oh, dear. Responsibility. Eileen, dear, just a little wordy, if you don't mind.
What's been settled about me and Nigel?
Now, all in good time, Avril, all in good time. I'd just like a little wordy with Eileen first.
I'm the one the fuss is supposed to be about. Nobody'd think of the way I've been stuck in that kitchen.
You've had Eileen to talk to.
Oh, yes, a fine lot of sympathy I get out of Eileen.
I listened, didn't I?
Yes, with a glassy stare. Mind you, it's what I expect. After all, I not only managed to marry a man, but have now decided to chuck him up.
And what exactly do you mean by that?
Now, Avril, do you mind going back in the kitchen, Dinette?
You leave her, Mother. I want to know what she means.
She's been jealous of me ever since I was in the cradle, hasn't she, Mum?
Oh, then, Avril, you've got your man, and very cunning you were to get him.
But now he's turned out to be as stupid as you are, you better stick by him.
Did you hear what she said, Mother? Did you hear that? A media-injured party?
Now, Eileen, whatever your feelings, hold your tongue, please.
Are you siding with her?
No!
If you're siding with her, that's the last straw, that's
it. Just don't want any silly squabbles, that's all. Now then, Avril, get back in the kitchen, dinette.
I know perfectly well what you're going to talk about, Mum, so I don't see why I shouldn't stay.
You don't.
Oh, yes, I do. Dad let the cat out of the bag when he was going on all exotic a bit ago.
He what?
Your Bob's a married man, isn't he, Eileen? I thought you'd have to end up scraping somebody else's barrel.
Let me get hold of her. Just let me get hold of her.
No,
I'll tear you
no,
apart.
Now then, stop that. Now, Avril. Avril, go back into the kitchen, dinette. Go on, quick.
If you're all at chores, I'm putting Nigel back in the market soon, but I doubt whether he'd look at you.
She doesn't know what she's saying, Eileen. The poor girl's distraught. It's all been such a blow to her.
How did Dad know Bob's a married man?
Oh, we're not too upset about it, Eileen, so don't worry. You'll find your parents can be most understanding.
How did he find out?
Well, as a matter of fact, Mrs. Hadfield told him.
She knew?
She got it from her husband. He saw it on some income tax forms.
I see.
Now, Eileen, I'd like to talk it all over with you nice and mother-like, if that suits. Me and your father have been over all the pros and cons, and we must say we're very sympathetic towards your difficulties. We just don't know why you haven't confided in us before.
Mother, I haven't told you before because I thought you wouldn't approve. You see, my relationship with Bob has been an honest, forthright acceptance of our physical needs. I'm not ashamed of having a sex life. In fact, I'm proud of it. But it's not what you might call the most respectable way of going on, is it?
Well, Eileen, it's only by a chance coincidence that anyone's found out about it, so I should say you've been most respectable over the matter myself. Besides, we're not what you might call narrow-minded, and you do happen to be 30 next birthday.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, circumstances being what they are for you, we expected you to show some degree of human behaviour eventually. Your father and I have no objection to a certain amount of human behaviour, as long as it doesn't go beyond these four walls.
But it has, hasn't it?
Well, yes. Yes, it has. And that's what we're frightened of. That's why, whatever rumours might be flying around, you must never admit you know he's a married man.
I must what?
If Bob's wife got to find out, you might be cited as the Scarlet Woman in the case.
Well, I am, aren't I?
Yes, but you must never admit to it. We'd have to leave the district if you did that. No, you must say he always claimed he was single, and he happened to seduce you strictly on those terms. Now, after the court finds him guilty...
Guilty of what?
Misconduct, of course. He'll ask you to marry him. That's when you refuse.
I... What?
You refuse. You say, out loud, he has abused your innocence, and if you'd known he was married, you wouldn't have let him touch you with a barge pole.
And why exactly do I do that?
Well, for the neighbours. Who do you think? You'll have a lot of sympathy. For a little indiscretion, you go a spinster to the grave.
Mum, how many people know about me and Bob?
Well, just me and your father, Avril, and, of course, the Hadfields.
Well, in that case, how's Bob's wife going to know? She couldn't, not unless...
That's right, dear. Not unless somebody told her.
Well, who'd tell her, then?
Well, it could be Mrs. Hadfield.
Mrs. Hadfield? Why?
Well, if Avril left Nigel, she might try to blacken our name.
Oh, I've got it now, I see. I'm to be the scapegoat, am I, so the dear little Avril can go hawking her mutton elsewhere.
Language, Eileen, language.
I'm to stay unmarried, am I, for the next umpteen years, while that sweet little creature in there looks around for a second husband.
It's not that at all, dear. We just want to save your name and Avril's name and get it everything settled in the nicest possible manner.
Very well. I'll settle it for you in the nicest possible manner. Avril?
What?
You're going back to Nigel.
Me?
You heard. Get your coat on.
And who do you think you're talking to?
Are you going back to Nigel, or do you want me to drag you back?
Hey, listen to Mother. She can't talk to me like that. Me, a married woman. I've got some status, I have.
All right. Married woman, get back to your husband.
Mother, I'm sorry to hear she's turned out so touchy. If I'd have known, I'd have waited. I'd never have got married before her. I'd have waited.
Avril.
Why, you little... Bitch!
Eileen!
Hear what she said, Mother. Hear what she called me. You're very lucky this family doesn't disown you, messing around with somebody else's husband.
What? I'll break every bone in your body.
Oh, they've gone mad. My daughters have gone mad. Oh, where's Dad? I must phone Dad.
Oh, stop it.
Dad!
Is that you? No, no, it isn't settled. The neighbours, Eileen, the neighbours. Oh, they've gone out of their minds. Your daughters, that's who.
Now, look here, Avril.
Now, look here, Eileen.
Your father'll be up in a minute. He'll soon deal with a pair of you. Just keep that mouth of yours closed, Avril.
What?
Keep your tongue still. You're nothing but a little troublemaker.
Me? A spotless married woman? Don't make me throw a fit. Don't make me throw a fit. You know what I'm like when I throw a fit?
Quiet, Avril, quiet.
It's all a big act, Mother.
Be quiet, you and all.
Now then, what's all this on a Sunday morning? Dare rest?
Oh, shut the French windows, Dad, quick. The sound carries.
Right, Mother. Shall I draw the curtains as well to deaden it?
Please.
Now then. What's all this? What's all this pandemonium?
Oh, they've been acting just like they did when they were children.
Shut up, Avril, or I'll turn your backside into a patchwork quilt. Now then, how's all this started? I thought I left you with a nice peaceful day Newman on your hands.
I don't know, Father. It just happened.
Yes, well, this is a clear case, isn't it, of when I lead you, not chaos is come again, as the immortal once added.
This is not a time for your poetry, Dad.
Isn't it?
No. Our Arlene's gone all cantankerous.
She's what?
She won't make herself amenable. It's most unlike her, but she won't.
No. Oh, so you're indisposed to our proposition, are you, Arlene?
Yes.
You are? What was put to you wasn't put lightly, you know. It was the product of mature thought and careful consideration, as coming from me, I think, you might expect. Now, Eileen, I know that you have a very shrewd intelligence, so therefore you must have been somewhat misinformed in the way the terms of our proposition had been presented.
He talks to his clients like that. He's a wonderful man.
Now, in the first place, we observe
I'm
that Bob
sorry, Dad, I don't want to listen. I see one single fact. I love a man. I love him.
All right, I take the point. There's no need to get emotional.
He happens to be unhappily married.
Unhappily, he happens to be married. Agreed.
I've had to compromise my conscience. I've had to keep matters dark. I've actually lied and deceived. I've been as guilty as the rest. And why? Because somewhere I felt a stupid, sentimental attachment to this family. Well, that's all finished with now. I'm turning my back on you. And do you know something? I suddenly feel clean, pure, chaste.
Chaste?
The words they use, Mother, words.
I'm leaving. I'm going to live with Bob.
You're what?
But, Eileen, you can't. Mrs. Hadfield will spread it around that you're the other woman.
Let them call me the other woman. As long as I've got my integrity, they can call me what they like.
Eileen, where do you think you're going?
I've told you, I'm leaving with Bob.
But what'll we tell the neighbours?
Tell them I'm living in sin. They'll understand.
The shame of it. The shame. We'll have to disown her.
Disown her? We can't disown her. If we fall out with Eileen, Bob will fall out with us. That'll mean the enemy loco equipment. Mother?
Yes?
Sacrifices will have to be made.
Sacrifices? What sacrifices?
Must I say it?
Me? Not me.
I wouldn't like to go back to Nigel myself, but
it'd shut Mrs. Hadfield's mouth.
Exactly.
Go back to him, Avril. Make him your willing slave for life.
Quite right, Mother. Remember, Avril, that to err is only human, but to forgive is bargaining from strength.
I've left him for good, and if you try to force me back, I'll have a complete breakdown. And you know what I'm like when I've got my complete breakdown on me?
Oh, don't be silly, Avril. Don't be so silly.
You just wait.
Oh, as soon as Nigel's mother comes back, we've had it. What's the time? 11:45, half-time at St. Cuthbert. Phew. Think of her now, eh? Down on her benders. I can guess what she's praying about, all right. Nymph in thy orisons, all my sins will be remembered, I've no doubt.
Oh, you'll think of something you always do.
Yes, think. Mother.
What?
There are no thoughts. Nothing's coming through. I can't think.
Now, Dad, try.
If Avril doesn't go back to Nigel, Mrs. Hadfield will inform about Bob being married, which will cause Eileen to... But Eileen's upstairs. Yeah, and then this afternoon there's the question of me loco. 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 Loco.
Fred, what is it?
Mother, it's all become vague. The brain won't march any further. This is the day, Mother. This is the day I've always dreaded. The brain refuses to fight. It won't fight anymore.
Father!
It's with the brain, you see. That's how you trample down the rest. I knew that at school. This is the weapon with which we climb. How else have we arrived here in our semi-detached? Only with the brain. What friends have put us here? What capital? What inheritance? No, it's all been accomplished by this matter which they tell us is grey. Very grey. And now it wants to retire unpensioned, uninsured.
Father, you must rest. Put your head back and rest.
Rest?
You spend too much time all the week worrying, forever worrying.
What will happen if the brain won't start fighting again? Strategies, designs, forward thinking, that's all that's put us here. The working of the wits. Because, I mean, you're either climbing up or hanging on. Well, hang on when the time comes, but a little higher up, if you don't mind, a little higher up.
That's the way, Father, that's the way.
Yes, 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 Mother, yes, leave me to cogitate. Let me try to find a way out philosophically.
Relax and something will come to you, I know it will.
Yes, sudden inspiration, that's what I want. An inward eyeful.
Mother.
Shh.
What's up?
He's having a cogitate. You mustn't disturb him.
Oh, that's painful, I bet.
Oh, leave him in peace, Thomas. What is it you want, anyway?
Here, you do him, Mother, will you?
What?
My trousers. It won't take you 5 minutes.
Oh, give him here, then. But be quiet. What's wrong with them?
The zip fastener's stuck. One of the teeth's missing.
Well, in that case, it's impossible.
Eh?
Where can I get a zip fastener of a Sunday morning?
Here you are. Zip fastener specially selected.
Where'd you get these?
A sort of farewell present from the late lamented girlfriend. Well, she happened to whip them from the works like.
She what?
She used to work now zip fastener extension, Mum.
Zip fastener extension.
What's up, Dad? Coming round, are you?
Zip fastener extension, did you say? Zip fastener extension.
That's right, zip fastener extension.
Oh, zip fastener extension, eh? Zip fastener extension, zip fastener extension.
What's up with Dad? What's up with him?
Mother, the last time you searched my son's pockets, did you come across a letter simply seething with passion?
You searched my pockets?
She did, and what she found was the most venerous venery I've ever read in all my natural. Mother, can you remember the name of that sweet young baggage?
Daphne, that was her name.
Daphne, and would this Daphne and your zip fastener friend be one and the same?
What are you getting at, Dad?
There isn't more than one Daphne in a zip fastener room by any chance, is there?
Well, no.
So it's right what me and your mother have suspected all along.
What's that?
In plain terms, you have put a young lady in the club. Well, have you or haven't you?
Well, sort of.
There's no sort of about the club.
All right, I have then. How do you know?
Deduction, lad.
He's done what?
Leave us, Mother, leave us. It's a very tender moment, this. Let's savour it together, father and son alone. Mother, leave us.
But can't you explain, love? I don't know what to make of it. What club?
Don't worry, Mother, get in there. What made you do it, Tom? What made you?
Well, it was raining at the time, and she got under me mack, and it doesn't fit very well.
No, not that. What made you force her into another man's arms?
Oh, well, once she knew she clicked, I said to myself, what would my father do in this situation?
You what?
So I did it.
You palmed her off on Nigel's uncle, Mr. Makepeace?
Yes.
Oh, dear, how it comes home to roost. My method should never be applied by amateurs, never.
Did I do wrong, then?
Wrong, he says, did I do wrong? You've done worse than wrong, mate. You've ruined everybody's bank balance.
Me?
Because of your little anky-pank, Nigel's been cut off.
What?
Mr. Makepeace has cut him out of his will in favour of this future bride you're giving him.
Yes?
Yes, that alone would be enough. But to think you've consolidated the situation by providing him with his future heir. Most considerate towards your family you've been, I must say. Idiot, fool, bungler.
I was only thinking of what was best for her. I mean, I haven't got a lot to offer at the moment, have I? And then I suddenly remember the technique you employed in getting our Avril married to Nigel.
Yeah, what?
Well, you did get her to compromise him up a bit, didn't you?
Thomas, it's natural for a man to be ambitious for his daughter, but not for his consort. Even I draw the line at that. Nevertheless, I expect Daphne has had quite an increase in pay in her new job.
Well, yes, she has.
Yes, and I imagine Daphne is a girl of very generous inclinations, not only physical but also financial.
I don't quite follow.
Oh, don't you indeed? Where'd you get the money from for that new motorbike?
Well, I...
The facts. Come on, give me the facts.
Well, actually, when she told Mr. Makepeace she was expecting, he gave her a certain sum of money and she lent it to me.
Living off immoral earnings on top. You disgust me. You appall me, you horrible juvenile delinquent.
Look, Dad, I'm not ready for marriage.
Not ready for marriage?
I'm still a teenager.
My son, a teenage panderous, and apparently proud of it. Sit down.
But, Dad...
Shut up. Now, listen, lad. I am going to grow you up.
Eh?
From this moment onwards, I declare you adult.
Adult?
Adult. That means you've got to lie, scrounge and deceive with the rest of us, but never put yourself in a position where anyone can accuse you of it. Now, your first act is to get yourself married.
But what about the money?
What about the money? What about the money? Oh, what splendid words, splendid words. Don't worry, you're in a privileged position.
What are you doing?
Simply acting on your behalf as one of the co-directors of this basic limited company of ours, the family. I'm phoning Makepeace. Now, don't look alarmed, Thomas. You can call me Fred from now on if you wish. Morning, Mr. Makepeace. Midway here. Midway. My daughter married your nephew, Nigel. Yes, that's right, then. No, it's nothing to do with Nigel. No, it actually concerns my son, my young son, Thomas. I thought you might be able to help me. Well, it appears he's been jilted by a young lady named Daphne, who used to work in your Zip Fastener department. He tells me you happen to know her. I wonder if you'd be kind enough to help. I've been holding him back from the gas oven all morning. Well, the fact of the matter is, he's a very shy lad who's been nourishing a burning passion for her. The poor lad even imagined he might marry her. What? You come round immediately? Oh, no, we wouldn't impose, Mr. Makepeace, not on a Sunday. Perhaps if you told him over the phone that you're going to make her very happy, perhaps that might suffice. He's rung off. Rung off. What a marvellous hurry you must be in to get here, eh? I think of him now, jumping into his 3-litre, slamming the door. Right, stage one accomplished, stage two coming up. Mother!
Yes, dear?
Your little boy has now become a man.
You mean it's right what you said, then? He's going to become a father.
At a top secret and most unofficial level, which I hope we'll all keep under our hats, perhaps we might safely say... He is.
My son, a father.
Yes, but nobody's to know as yet.
Who's the lucky girl? This Daphne Dunmore,
yes,
is it?
But we must forget it for the moment.
Is she up to his standard, do you think?
She will be if you keep your mouth shut.
You'll marry her, then?
Yes, Mother, but we're not supposed to know.
Well, when will it be,
Mother,
the marriage?
Shut up.
Shut up?
Yes, love, shut up. Do you trust me, my dearest?
You know I do.
Right. Well, in 10 minutes or so, Mr. Makepeace will be coming here.
Mr. Makepeace?
Mr. Makepeace thinks he is the father of that lad's child.
He does?
Yes, by courtesy of Daphne, of course. But he isn't.
He isn't?
No, but we must go on letting him think he is.
Oh, I see. At least I think I do.
Splendid. Anyway, leave everything to me when he arrives. Thomas?
Yes, Fred?
Tom, you'd better act like Parsifal the Pure when he arrives. Got it?
Right, Fred.
Right, we'll go and get tidied up then.
Right, Fred.
And you better not call me Fred in front of Mr. Makepeace.
Okay, Fred.
Why is he calling you Fred?
I've just matured him up to man's estate, so I've given him the privilege as a token thereof.
Well, I just can't keep up with it. You know, I'd say this is one of the busiest Sunday mornings we've had for some time.
Eileen, what do you think you're doing?
Simply collecting up my possessions. They're all mine. I bought them.
You're not really packing.
I'm not staying here.
Well, where are you going to?
I told you. The Dragon Hotel. With Bob.
If she stays there with a married man, you'll have to disown her. There's no two ways about it.
Disown my Eileen? Well, we'll just have to try and keep her here then, won't we?
Oh, you're going to do that? Tie her down?
Oh, it's all very tricky. If we lose Eileen, we lose Bob. If I lose Bob, I lose me locos. And then I'm back where I started. Oh, no. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Yes, Dad?
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Yes. I have just been hit by a piece of Eureka. I'm sure of it. Yes, it all fits together.
What is it, Dad?
Why not ask Bob to come and live here?
Bob, live here?
It's simple. Bob lives here and Eileen lives with him.
You mean have them living in sin here under our own roof?
But don't you see, Mother, this is the only place where we can make it completely respectable. Who would believe that a decent family like ours could possibly connive at such immorality? We'll say the reason we invited him here was to keep an eye on him.
We'd become sort of guardians of their decency.
Exactly. And as long as he has a bed down here and she has one upstairs, who are we to worry about a few creaks on the stairs in the middle of the night?
Oh, I believe you're right, Father. I believe you're absolutely right.
Good, splendid. Mother?
Yes?
Ask Bob if he'll stay here. After all, he's the bait for our Arlene's concern, isn't he? However much she loves honesty, it can't stop her being 30 next birthday, can it?
You're right.
Mother, ask Bob to stay here, then. And do it warm and motherly, as only you know how.
Shall I ask him now?
Yes, and tell him to pass the news on to Arlene. She'd appreciate it coming from him, just as he'd appreciate it coming from you.
Where is he?
Down the workshop, where do you think?
Very well, love. Leave it to me.
Right. Avril! Avril, my little one, I've just phoned Mr. Makepeace and told him of your marital rift.
You what?
and he said he'd come straight over here.
Nigel's uncle come in here.
To try and seal the rift.
You mean he'll put Nigel back in the will?
More than likely, more than likely. But I say to myself, surely there's a moral issue here. I can't have my daughter returned to him just for the money.
I wouldn't mind.
No, never, no. The man's behaved like a dirty beast. Think of that.
Well, as a matter of fact, Dad, I have been thinking about it.
You have?
I think he might have certain depths he's never tapped. Well, not with me anyway.
Yes, he's got those all right.
Father, if I went back to him, what would be my approach?
Well, details like that are not for me to say, love.
Not even a little hint?
Not the sort of a...
Yes?
Well, I should buy yourselves a sound practical correspondence course on the subject.
Who's there?
Keep away from the window. It's probably Mr. Makepeace. You better make yourself scarce in the kitchen dinette.
I'm sick of the kitchen dinette.
Yes, so am I, but get in there. Oh, it's you, Nigel.
Mr. Midway.
Yes?
Mother sent me ahead in the car to collect Avril. She says there won't be any difficulty about it.
Indeed.
She's walking this way. And she says there'll be Halifax to pay if I haven't got hold of Avril by the time she gets here.
How long will it take her? 10 minutes?
About that.
Right. Now, I've got some good news for you, Nigel. I've been in touch with your uncle.
My uncle?
Yes, a splendid, generous, kindly man, your uncle. Think of all he's given to Dowley Hall. A church tower, 2 public lavatories and a garden of rest. And they still keep him waiting for his OBE. There's no justice. I told him that being cut out of the will was such a shock to a young nephew's heart that it led to your dire debauchery and present misfortune.
You know, I never thought of making out anything like that.
No, well, I did, and he's coming round here.
Coming round here? My uncle? I say, do you think he might put me back in the will?
Most likely, most likely.
I must go and find Mother.
Wait a minute. Shouldn't you break the news to your wife first?
You mean Avril will be coming back to me?
A word of advice before you see her, Nigel. But Nigel, have you ever tried to understand our Avril? Or simply a woman, for that matter, with all her mysteries and complications?
Well, actually, I must admit, I did once look at some diagrams.
I was talking about a woman's heart, her mental makeup.
Oh?
I mean, Nigel, do you realise what she feels like when she knows that your rich, virile, savage, authentic passion has been denied her? That you've actually spent it elsewhere.
Oh?
What heart-searchings of her own deficiency she must have had. What inferiority, what frustration. You must gird up your loins, my son. Go to her. Give her the reassurance she requires. She's waiting there in the kitchen dinette. Need I say more?
No. Does that mean I ought to tell her the truth?
The truth? Oh, that's a most suspicious word, the truth. Here, come here. Nigel... You've got something else on your mind, haven't you?
Well, yes.
Well, tell your dear father-in-law, he can bear all.
Well, when I went into this room in London with this woman...
The room in London with the woman, yes.
Nothing happened.
Nothing happened?
I suddenly felt wicked and frightened inside. And between ourselves, I didn't quite feel up to it in any case.
You what?
I paid her the money and waited till Tommy Hickerton was ready next door.
Well, why didn't you tell Avril?
Well, I was going to, but... I got as far as where I climbed up the stairs, and then I blushed, and Avril jumped to conclusions and bolted out of the house. I haven't seen her alone since then.
Well, why haven't you told Mrs. Hatfield, then?
I say, Mr. Midway. Well, it isn't quite the kind of thing a fellow discusses with his mother.
So because you blushed, we've had all this blustered havoc on a Sunday morning, have we?
Well, I'm sorry if there's been any inconvenience caused, but I think if I go and tell Avril the truth now, everything will be nicely cleared
up. Hey, not so fast.
What is it?
My daughter's waiting for the Mr. Hyde to appear, the Don Juan. And here you are acting like a bowdlerized version of the Virgin's Lament. Sit down.
What again?
Again. Nigel, do you realize my daughter's in there all wound up, ready to meet the challenge of your newfound, hot-blooded, voluptuous dimension? I mean, think of her disappointment and disillusionment if all she finds you've got to offer is your old original lymphatic self. It's enough to give the poor child a dose of the neurotic abdabs.
You mean she'll scream?
Exactly.
I can't bear it when she screams.
Neither can I. Nigel, there's only one thing you can do.
What's that?
You've established yourself as a dirty beast. You'd better stay a dirty beast.
You think so?
I'm sure of it, lad. It'll save any more complications.
Well, how do I go about it, then?
Yes, well, looking at you, that's the difficulty, you see. Here, look, read that Sunday newspaper. Read it from cover to cover every Sunday and use your imagination for the rest of the week. Right? Now go and sit outside among the birds and the bees and get cracking. Go on.
Thank you. Very well, Mr. Midway.
A moment has arrived. He's here. Deus Ex 3 litre. Ah, sorry, Mr. Makepeace.
Let me warn you, Midway, time is precious. I'm a very busy man.
Aren't we all, Mr. Makepeace? Aren't
we all? You say there's some kind of emotional disturbance in your family and I might be able to help.
Yes, that's about it.
You say it concerns your son and a young lady named Daphne, both of whom work for me.
That's it. Do sit down, Mr.
Thank you. As you might realize, I've frequently spoken about the responsibility which falls upon me for happiness and contentment among my workers.
And beautifully reported in the Dowley Hall Weekly News, I might say.
Yes, if there's anything I can do to heal the breach between your son and this... Daphne, so that I can see them safely, or rather, happily married. You have only to say the word.
May I speak?
You may.
We are, as you see, Mr. Makepeace, very simple souls in a semi-detached. But to get to our present position, we have had to try to emulate, however gropingly, some standard or some norm. I think I speak on behalf of a million others when I say the ideal which we try to achieve is something like you, Mr. Makepeace.
Oh, you flatter me.
Not in the least. But you must realise it is impossible for us, the disciples, to allow our hero to have feet of clay. Mm-hmm. We must try and cover up his deficiencies for him, with the proviso that he who covers up most should merit the best chance of promotion. What you might call the rewards of loyalty, Mr. Makepeace, eh? Consequently, it would be as distasteful for me as it certainly would be for you to talk at length about this, Daphne and her, progeny. So I think we might agree that a little money might render the problem as it confronts both you and us, how shall I put it? Insignificant?
My turn?
Your turn.
Let's drop the verbal fencing, shall we?
Right.
Obviously, you know that women, especially vivacious ones, have an undeniable attraction for me. I believe that every fresh courtship regenerates youth, keeps the blood circulating, the heart in trim. Nevertheless, Daphne, with her quaint infatuation for me, has certainly become an embarrassment. Mm. I agree with you. She needs a young man, no nearer her own age. Furthermore, to commit myself to a child of her tender years and background at this particular point in time could have most unfortunate consequences. Mm-hmm. As a sympathetic disciple, you may know that, as rumour has it, I am shortlisted for an OBE in the coming year.
And may I say the whole of Dowley Hall is delighted to hear it.
It is?
Oh, yes. In fact, Mr. Makepeace, I have heard talk in the local club it might even be a knighthood.
A knighthood?
A knighthood,
oh,
yes.
No. As a matter of fact, I think in the end it will only be an MBE.
What? You, Mr. Makepeace, palm you off with an MBE? If they try and do that across you, I should send it back.
Oh. You really think it might be a knighthood?
To my mind, Mr. Makepeace, there's only one thing stands in your way.
This Miss, Daphne.
Exactly. I think the evidence shows that any blatant moral discrepancies should always appear after, rather than before, the reception of the accolade. Any display of immorality before would be lazy majesty, and you wouldn't get it. But after, it would merely mean that you're following on in the tradition of our glorious, noble inheritance.
My view entirely.
So if I, your disciple, were to persuade my son to cover up any moral deviationism on your part, I take it my son-in-law, your nephew, would then be reinstated as your heir?
Oh, he would.
Splendid, splendid. Might I make one more suggestion?
Please do.
I think perhaps if you were to found an overseas scholarship or bursary, say, to encourage your young workers to travel abroad, seek experience, and if it were awarded this first year to my son, I think he would get married to, Daphne. Go abroad, and depending on the sum, never come back.
And what would be the sum?
£X.
And what is £X?
£X, as you know, Mr. Makepeace, is a business expression. It means it's not very nice to talk about it, but your listener must imagine it's as high as possible. How high can you imagine, Mr. Makepeace? Remember, if you do it in the form of a covenant, there'll be no income tax, so your £X will be miraculously transformed into my son's £X, and the world will justly say, is there no end to his beneficence? And that'll put you straight in line for the tap on the shoulder, eh? Top status. I'm tempted to call you Sir Arnold already.
You touch me. Put it there, Midway. I'm proud to know you.
Would you like to meet the young man in question?
question, sir.
Oh, I don't think there's any need for that. No matters can quite easily be settled between us.
Make peace, is it?
Your good lady. Yes. Happy to meet you.
Now, this is Bob. Helps me with the locos.
I've heard about your locos.
Yes, I'd like you to have a look at them before you go, Mr. Makepeace.
You would?
Yes, if you care to step out into the garden, Mr. Makepeace, I'll be with you in a moment, and then we can wind up our discussion.
Oh, but I thought we had wound it up.
Oh, no. We haven't got to the exciting part yet.
What's that?
What X equals. This way, Mr. Makepeace, just down the bottom of your... Oh, it's all working out beautifully, Mother, beautifully. Now then, Bob, has Mother explained the situation to you?
She has.
And you're coming to live here?
I think it's a marvellous idea. I can be closer to the locos.
And Eileen, you mustn't forget Eileen.
Oh, well, I take Eileen for granted.
Take Eileen for granted? Now, look, just get this into your head, will you? You're coming here primarily as Eileen's lover in sheep's clothing. Not as a means of advertising your firm.
Well, naturally, but it's part and parcel of the same thing, isn't it? I mean, coming here, you'll want me to work on the locos as well as on Eileen, won't you?
My influence has been too great. You're beginning to worry me, Jan. No, that worry me. Here, get up them stairs and break the news to Eileen. She's got something to offer you, lad, what I haven't, so get up there.
Mr. Midway! Mr. Midway!
Yes?
I've just seen Uncle in the garden, and he tells me I'm going back in the will. I must tell Avril.
Right. Right, well now, Mother, one short chat with Mr. Makepeace over finance and everything will be settled all round.
He's a marvellous man. Oh, here come the lovebirds. Have you told her yet?
I'm just explaining it.
I'll let you get on with it then. Soon we'll have you both cooing under our roof. Lovebird.
Well, Eileen?
You're not staying here.
But your mother's right. It's the best way all round.
I've heard the argument, but you're not staying.
Who says so?
I say so.
Eileen, let's be clear on this. I've been invited to stay. I can't refuse.
Oh, yes, you can.
Well, I'm not going to.
You're not?
No.
Bob, don't you realise Dad wants to make all he can out of you?
But I shall be making something out of it too. The more I become an expert in model making, the more light craft lathes, even complete workshops, I'll be selling.
But he's not thinking of you.
He's not?
He's only out to exploit you. Understand? Exploit you.
Exploit me?
Yes.
Now, let's view this in perspective, shall we, Eileen? Let's see it all fair and square.
What?
As I see it, it's a basic characteristic of living things to exploit each other. We've got a most complex biological sanction for it, so it's not for the likes of us to go against nature now, is it?
He's beginning to talk like him.
Who is?
You are.
Like your father?
In a few years, I won't be able to tell one from the other.
But that's splendid.
Splendid?
Why, what's wrong?
What's wrong? I hate the sight of him. That's all.
Hate your father?
Yes.
Beautiful, Eileen. Beautiful, beautiful. First class, first class. Well, it's nice to know she's getting it out of her system at last.
It's you.
Yes, it's me, your dear old reactionary dad.
You heard?
I heard.
Not sorry?
No, of course not.
Exploiter?
Yes.
Juggler?
Sometimes.
Cheat?
Occasionally.
Liar?
Oh, dear, dear, dear. You beautiful little rebel, you. Now, what's all the trouble about?
I'm not having Bob living under this roof.
But he's been invited.
I don't care. We're not going to live here.
I see.
If he loves me, he'll come with me.
Where?
You know where, the Dragon Hotel, until we find a flat together.
Right. Well, that's that then, isn't it? Well, I shan't argue. If you feel that way, I mustn't interfere. Well, Bob, Miss On.
Yes?
She's asking you to desert your newly found family, but if you love her, you'd better go.
I know.
Disgrace and humiliation do lie ahead of you, of course. Living in sin, in public. Divorce, no job, no prospects, no friends. But if you love her, you better do it.
I know.
Yeah, of course, I should miss you. Oh, I had great hopes for the pair of us. What a future we might have had, eh? What a future. But if you truly love her...
Well?
Are you sure we'd get on together?
Get on together? After all last week... Back to your locos.
But Eileen,
traitor, you dog, scoundrel, viper, cur.
But Mr. Midway,
you heard what my daughter said. Get back to the locos. Go on, at once. Go on, get back. I'll have no arguments. Get off there.
Right.
Oh, all you're good for. Thank goodness, Eileen, you found him out in the nick of time. He'd be no good to you now. He's simply on the make, that one. There's not a scrap of real tender love in him. Eileen, if you've never taken your father's advice before, love, take it now.
What?
Find yourself a man that really suits you. A poverty-stricken bohemian, a beatnik, a failure, a victim of society. Someone you can care for.
You mean that?
I'm emptying my heart. A down-and-out, a derelict. Someone who is utterly truthful, utterly loving, utterly honest.
In the final analysis, that is your type. Collect your case, go to the back streets of Bayswater, the Dragon Hotel, whatever it may be, and find him.
So, that's what you want me to do,
Eileen, is it? Eileen, look at me. I know you. However painful it is for me to admit it, you need a man whose worthiness can match yours. It's your future happiness we must think of now.
Father, I've never heard you talk like this before.
I know when I'm defeated. Take my advice, Eileen. No matter how sordid your life may be, remember one thing. If it makes you happy, it will make me joyous. Oh, will it work? I wonder, will it work? Will it work?
Dad, I passed Eileen on the stairs. She says she's off.
Yes, Mother.
She's not going to live here with Bob.
No.
She's not.
I said no, but don't worry.
Oh, you mean we'll have to disown her after all?
Maybe yes, maybe no. We'll have to see.
Oh, well, I only hope you know what you're doing.
Have you spoken to Mr. Makepeace?
Oh, yes, Tom, I have. That's all been settled.
In my absence?
In your absence.
Well, what have you decided, Fred?
We've decided that you and your future bride are going to emigrate.
Emigrate? Me?
And her.
But I don't want to.
No, you will when you get the money.
What money?
Mr. Makepeace is making you a very special grant for permanent residence abroad. Most generous and lavish, I'd say.
Oh, well, if it's substantial.
Now, you know I wouldn't fail you when money's concerned. Especially if it's someone else's.
Oh, thanks, Fred.
Don't mention it, Tom.
I'd better go and break the news to Daphne.
Yes, Tom, invite her round here tonight.
Right, Fred.
We'll discuss how quickly we can export the pair of you.
Oh, Father, I'm not so sure I want him exported.
Yes, it's sad to lose him, Mother, but we must view it realistically.
Ah,
to make peace. You hear that sound? And it's my son off to reclaim the young lady in question. My wife joins me in thanking you for the noble sacrifice you have made.
I didn't mention it. Well, I must be going.
Good day, Mr. Makepeace.
Good day, Midway.
Well, there are some important things we haven't discussed yet, Mr.
Such
Makepeace.
Such as?
Well, have you anyone in mind for ensuring the town redevelopment, for example?
Another time, perhaps.
It's Mrs. Hadfield.
Mrs. Hadfield? Did you say Mrs. Hadfield, my sister?
Yes, shall I let you
in? No, wait a minute. I'd prefer not to see her. She's bound to ask why I'm here. It could be rather embarrassing.
Then why not step back into a little garden?
Oh, dear. My card out there will give the game away. She's bound to recognise it. What will you tell her?
What will we tell her? Mother, what can we possibly tell... Mr. Makepeace, why not say you've come round here on behalf of the council to consult me about ensuring the total town redevelopment? How's that? Into the garden, Mr. Makepeace. Saved by the ding-dong. Right, Mother, let her in. The total town redevelopment ensured by the sunlight. Oh, more than even I did hope for.
Is that my brother's card outside? Is he here?
Yes, Mrs. Hadfield. He happens to be down the garden studying the locos. I asked him to come over to settle that trifling difference between his nephew and my daughter. I must say he's done it extremely well.
You mean that Avril will be returning to Nigel?
With his uncle's blessing, plus his readmission to the family fortune.
You mean he's put him back in the will?
Exactly.
Well, I thought you'd have to scheme something like that before you let her return.
You're not worried about it, Mrs. Hadfield, are you? And neither are our children. Come out, you naughty pair, you naughty, naughty pair.
Nigel, your clothes are in such a disorder, boy.
Well, there has to be a bit of give and take, doesn't there? And now I know his uncle's going on with the giving.
Quite right, Avril, quite right.
Well, we'll be going then. Me and Nigel can cuddle a bit more comfy in our little nest, can't we, Nigel? I shall never forgive him for his carryings on, Mum, but I must say it's brought out his roguish side a bit.
Nigel, shall we go?
Well, cheerio, Mum. Cheerio, Dad.
See you both next month.
That's right, after church.
Goodbye, Mother. Goodbye, Father.
Hey, come along, you filthy beast.
Goodbye. Goodbye. They're together again, Dad.
Yes, and by this time, Tom will be with his Daphne. That's another pair we've put on the straight and narrow.
That only leaves Bob and Eileen.
Yes, Bob will be staying here. He'll be like another son.
But Eileen, what will happen to Eileen? If she goes to that Dragon Hotel, we'll have to disclaim her.
Yes, perhaps. All right, Mother, go and fetch her. Tell her I want to say goodbye. It's the only way.
Very well, Dad.
Ah.
Midway. They've gone, have they? They've gone?
Now, Mr. Makepeace, there's something I want to talk over with you.
I'm afraid I haven't the time.
As an insurance man, Mr. Makepeace...
insurance, come to my office
I've
tomorrow.
Sold a good many life policies in my time.
Yes, I'm sure you have, but I must say good day.
And I've got a proposition here which could be of great interest
Believe
to you.
Believe me, there are no propositions left. I've considered them, bought them, or rejected
but
them.
But, Mr. Makepeace...
No, but I've so little time. I must go now. Good day.
I know how to lengthen your life expectation.
You what? Lengthen my life? Then tell me. If there's something, tell me. Is it new on the market? If it isn't new on the market, I've had it already.
Close the door.
Yes, certainly. Now, what is it? Is it monkey gland? I've had monkey gland. I've also had rabbit's blood, lion's sperm, and queen bee jelly. Last year I went for 3 doses of Rams injections in Switzerland. It increased the vigour somewhat. I'm sure it increased the vigour. At least I think so. Well...
I'm an insurance man, Mr. Makepeace.
Yes.
In my trade, you have to know how to sum them up.
Yes, of course you must.
I mean,
yes.
No use letting a man have a policy, one premium, and then...
What have you discovered?
It varies from man to man.
Oh.
With you,
yes.
Be careful with the women.
You mean never again?
Never again. Not with people like that. Daphne, too young, too...
Yes, she was. Yes.
Mind and body must go together. Overdo one of them and...
Well,
Now, Mr. Makepeace, you want a woman of between 25 and 30, say.
Uh-huh.
Someone who's perhaps rather soulful and sincere.
Yes.
Someone who'll gladly suffer for the cause of truth as long as she knows where the next meal's coming from.
I'm with you, yes.
Someone who'll give you a constant mental challenge, keep you brisk, keep you alive.
Marvellous.
But above all, Mr. Makepeace, a woman who will never be an embarrassment, an encumbrance. And as she won't try to hang on to you, you might find yourself hanging on to her.
Oh, but where would I find a woman like that?
Now, you haven't met my daughter, have you, Mr. Makepeace?
Father, goodbye.
Oh, you mustn't let her go, Fred. You mustn't.
Mother, me and our Eileen have had a heart-to-heart. You must learn to recognise Mother as I have, that her world is not ours.
I'm sorry, Mother. I've made up my mind. I'm not going to live a life of lies.
Soulful and sincere, mark that.
Oh, Eileen, do be careful what you say in front of Mr. Makepeace. Oh. He might take you seriously.
Oh, don't you understand, Mother? Eileen is beyond our subterfuge. Does it matter who hears her? She's free. She has nothing to hide from anybody. Isn't that so, Eileen?
Well, yes.
Speak out your mind then, my daughter. Every word you say is a joyful penance for me.
Mother, I'm going to stay at the Dragon Hotel until I find a flat somewhere. Try to understand, Mother. I loved Bob fully, utterly. But obviously he didn't love me, not in that way. And once a woman starts doubting whether she can ever find a pure and unselfish love, then...
Then what?
Courage, Arlene. Speak on. Don't disappoint me now.
Then it doesn't really matter who she gives her body to.
Arlene!
That's what you might call suffering in the cause of truth.
Disown me, Mother, if you wish. In any case, I'm not needed here. And my pride will never allow me to be an encumbrance to anyone.
An encumbrance? What did I tell you? Eileen, splendid, splendid. I'm proud of you.
Goodbye.
Just one moment. Would you allow me to give you a lift?
Oh, Mr. Makepeace, you're such a busy man.
Oh, I think I've got the time to spare. Well, Eileen?
Why not?
A most... fascinating family. Good day. Good day.
Fred, he's taken her arm. What will the neighbours think if they see?
Not to worry, Mother. The friends of Caesar are above suspicion. Look again.
Our Eileen doesn't seem to mind. She's smiling at him.
And I told her to go and get herself a penniless, pure-hearted beatnik. Oh, I knew she'd do the opposite, even if only to spite her old dad. Ah, she's a beautiful little rebel, that one. What are they doing now, Mother?
They've turned the corner.
Ah, yes, well, they would.
What do you make of it, Fred?
What? Him, the establishment, and her, the honest intellectual. And they're bound to get together if only to keep each other warm.
You mean, you really?
Yes.
Oh, fancy. It's a wonderful world, Fred.
Is it?
And you're such a wonderful man.
Well, I'd better do the lawn.
Yes. Yes, you better. Because we don't want any talk, do we?
In Semi-Detached by David Turner, the cast was as follows. Fred Midway, Leonard Rossiter. Hilda Midway, Gillian Raine. Arlene Midway, Thelma Whitley. Tom Midway, Brian Stanion. Robert Freeman, Peter French. Averill Hadfield, Bridget Turner. Nigel Hadfield, Donald G. Garnet Hadfield, Antonia Pemberton. Arnold Makepeace, Leon Sindon. The recorded production was by Hugh Stewart in the BBC's Midland Studios.